Our scripture for today comes from James' letter in the second chapter, verses 1 through 10, and then 14 through 17. Hear the word of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not the Lord chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppose you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Continuing in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. May God bless this reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we again come to you with the cares of the week upon our minds. We pray, Lord, that we might take and open up an empty space, put those cares aside for now, and just listen to what you have to say to us. In the words of my mouth, and may the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing unto you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Usually a good pastor will take and start at the beginning of the scripture passage that he's using and work his way down. I'm not going to do that. Doesn't mean I'm not a good pastor. I want to start out, I want to talk about what James has to say starting in verse 14, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Now, I mentioned this last week. James, the son of Jesus, was a pretty big deal. What'd I say? Not son. Dang it. That's why I keep her around.
Sorry, that was a big one.
You don't let anything go. Anyhow, James, the brother of Jesus, was a pretty big deal in Jerusalem. He was actually the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And as I mentioned last week, he was dealing with a lot of rich people that would come in and think, "I have accepted Jesus Christ. That is all that I have to do." So James partly writes this letter in response to that. So here he is asking, if you say that you have faith but do not have works, what good is that? What good is that? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Now, we've got to be very careful reading this. Because James is not saying that works are going to save you. That's not what he is saying. The Apostle Paul in Galatians writes, it is by grace that you are saved and not by works, lest any man should judge. What Paul is saying is you can't buy your salvation, basically. You cannot buy your salvation. So what James is saying here is not that works are going to save you, but that because of your faith, you live that out through your works. The grace of God plants a seed in all of us. And what should happen is that should grow into a tree. And that tree should bear fruit. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Holly, what are the fruits of the Spirit?
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering.
Patience, goodness.
And faith.
And faith.
That's why I keep her around, too, to help me out and things like this. If you just have faith in all that you're doing is sitting here on your blessed assurances, and that's all that you do. You do not have a living faith. And basically, a person like that is the walking dead. They're zombies. I believe in Christ. I believe in Christ. But they'll walk past someone in need. Pastor, I really enjoy what you do. You preach well. You preach well. But they don't do anything else. They don't contribute anything. They don't even give offering. It's just hollow words. So James, and also let me say too that Paul actually believed this too. If you go on in Galatians, he talks about works of the faith and how good that it is. You don't want to have a dead faith. Because if you have a dead faith, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to stand before Jesus and you're going to say, oh, Jesus, hello. Who are you? I don't know you. Well, I professed faith. Did you do anything with it? You got dead faith, man. A lot of people are afraid to do works. Well, let me rephrase that. They're perfectly happy to go out and work and make a living and, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. But when it comes to doing the work of Jesus, they stop in their tracks. I believe in Jesus, but I don't know what to do with it. How can I tell people about Jesus? That worry should not even be part of our mentality. Because let me tell you something, okay? Jeff said this when he was talking to the kids. You think you know yourself. Jesus and God knows you better. You have been made in a certain way. You have some uniqueness to you that was given to you by God so that you could take and be his eyes, his ears, his hands, his feet, and yes, even his nose here on earth. We're all given gifts. Some of us can take and have the gift of oratory. Other of us have gifts. Eddie's got a gift that I have a little bit of, but I'm not very good at it. Holly's got linguistic gifts that I can't even come close to. We all have gifts. And let me tell you, if you simply say, Lord, I'm going to go out and I'm going to live my day, feel free to interrupt it any way that you want to, because I know that I am going to be able to handle it. So, again, faith is good. Our salvation comes from our faith. But you can't just, again, sit on your blessed assurances and expect to live the way that God wants you to live. Now, with all that in mind, let's go back and let's talk about the beginning of chapter 2. What James is talking about here is how we take and favor certain people, certain groups of people, over other people. You think about it, okay? No hands, just think about this. Would you rather deal with someone that is in a nice suit, with a nice tie, with polished shoes, who's very influential, or would you rather deal with a bum on the street who is disheveled, is dirty, that smells of urine? Which one would you rather deal with? I'd rather deal with the guy in the nice suit. He's going to be easier to interact with, and he might be able to help me in some way, get me a better job, put me in the right social circles. What can the bum do for me? That's what James is talking about. He's talking about when someone who walks in with fine clothes, here, have the preferential seat. And to the poor person, to the bum, to the drug addict, to the alcoholic. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, you sit in the back, or you know what? Sit at my feet. Get on the floor. Be quiet. Don't cause a fuss in my life. You see, when we do that, we break or we disobey what Christ has said to us. We are not here for the rich people, for the affluent. We were put here on earth. Again, to be the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands, the feet, the voice of God here on earth. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom? But you dishonor the poor. Is it not the rich who oppose you? Is it not the rich that drag you to court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that has been evoked over you? Think about it. How many of you have ever had something at work that has happened that has been detrimental? Especially if you didn't do what they suppose that you did, you get oppressed. If you take and do something to something that a rich person has, if you look at them the wrong way, or you scratch their car or whatnot. In a lot of cases, what's going to happen? You're going to have the sheriff deputy come to your house with a summons. You're going to get sued. How dare you do this? How many of you have ever been oppressed by a poor person? How many of you have ever been sued by a poor person? I'm not saying it never happens, but it's highly unlikely, especially being oppressed. So why are we focusing on the rich person? Why is our attention there when our attention should be on the poor? On the downtrodden. You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to scripture. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. One of the best things that I have ever seen, that I have gotten in my email, was a picture that says, love your neighbor. Love your black neighbor. Love your yellow neighbor. Love your homosexual neighbor. Love your drug addicted neighbor. Love your alcoholic neighbor. Love your Muslim neighbor. Love your Buddhist neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, tell me, if you have a need and you can meet it for yourself, are you going to deny yourself? Okay. We love ourselves so much that we want to make sure that, to the best of our ability, that we're taken care of. Those of us that have families want to take care of our families. How many of us actually love our neighbor like that? And let me tell you something, your neighbor does not necessarily live next door to you. Your neighbor is that single mother with a couple of kids, struggling just to get by. Your neighbor is that person who is on the street, who's homeless, who doesn't have a job, that looks scruffy and smells. Your neighbor is that young mother in the grocery store with two little kids that she thinks are really acting up, and that you know that those kids are perfectly fine. What are you going to do with that? How many of you can say, oh, you have really nice children? And yeah, they're a little rowdy, but that's what children's do, what children do. I think you're doing a good job. How many of you could not bring yourself to say that? How many of you could not bring yourself, when you see someone that is down or depressed, whether you know them or not, and be able to say, how are you doing? Are you all right? What's going on? And then having the courage, just the courage, to stand there and to listen as they pour out everything that is going wrong. We are the eyes of the Lord, so we can see these things. We are the ears of the Lord, so we can hear things that are going on, and we can lend an ear. We are the mouth of the Lord, and we can give comfort. Doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to be fancy. Sometimes it's as easy as saying, you know what? I understand, because I have been there myself. We are the hands of the Lord. We can help people. We can help that little old lady with the cart full of groceries, with the cane. We can help her. We can help families that need a little renovation, need electrical outlets changed, needs a new light fixture. Folks, this is stuff that we do in our, for our families and for ourselves in our everyday lives. So we know how to do it. We just have to do it for that neighbor. Faith is good. God's grace is good. It is by God's grace that we are saved. It's the gift of salvation. Now the thing is, what are you going to do with that gift? Are you going to leave it in the box and just walk around? I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Or are you going to open that box, see what's in there, make the best darn use of that that you possibly can? That, my friends, is living faith, which we are called to do. Jesus said, I'm going to be here but a short while, but the poor will always be with you. In other words, I'm not always going to be here, and when I'm not, you got to take care of things. So, don't be part of the walking dead. Be part of the living faith. Amen.